you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the show. Monday afternoon. Lionheart. Where is Lionheart, Harrington?
I believe he is in the air en route to another state that you often confuse his home state with.
Arkansas?
Texas.
I have never confused it with Texas.
Okay, my bad.
No. Arkansas. And by the way, on the last episode, that was accidentally on purpose, just for the laugh, making a fool out of myself. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, everybody. Hopefully, we've still got an audience. You haven't all just clicked off because Lionheart Smith, you know, hey, say what you want about me. Talk all the shit you want, but I'm here. I don't miss the show. Mondays, Thursdays. He needs to renegotiate his entire travel schedule. But Anthony will be on hopefully later. But we do have Sugar Sean O'Malley joining us in just a second as well. Looking forward to hearing about him. Harrington, how are you, buddy?
Dude, I'm doing great. And you know what? Thank you, Anthony Smith, for letting us sit in on your podcast here while you're away with your family.
Really yes. All right, so lots to talk about today. Lots of questions I want to ask Sean O'Malley. And make sure you read out the questions from the tweet on there as well, Harrington. But there was a fight card at the weekend. We'll just start with that. We'll talk about that until Sean joins us. You never know. It might be a couple late. Strickland versus Jared Cannonier. Close fight. Sean Strickland, as I said last week, value for money. Always entertaining. Always fun to watch at a press conference. Says a lot of controversial things. But when he fights, you know, then just lately you don't see that craziness. And to be fair, he can't really go out there and have a crazy style and be all carefree and caution to the wind when you're fighting the top of the food chain, guys. You know, when it's somebody like Jared Cannonier, who's that powerful, and if you mess around, well, if you fuck around, you'll find out type situation. So it was mainly a jab versus some heavy blows, right hand, left hooks, and heavy leg kicks from Jared Cannonier. Not the most exciting fight, let's be honest, but it did certainly start to pick up as the fight was progressing. But what was your opinion on it, Harrington?
I mean, I thought it was absolutely incredible. I liked everything about it just from a tension standpoint, right? Like, it felt like at any point one guy could land a big bomb on the other. And I love Jared's attacking the legs and hurting Sean's mobility.
Absolutely. Speaking of Sean's mobility,
whoa.
Sean. We were just talking Sean Strickland. What's going on, Sean O'Malley?
Michael Bisping, how you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Thanks for joining us, Sean. I know you're a busy man. You're hot in demand. You're half naked in the streets of Arizona. What's going on? Where are you right now?
Definitely not a busy man. I am at home, chilling in the sun. It's beautiful out.
Oh, you just having a little sunbathe?
Yeah, it's like a little chilly, but the sun feels warm. So it's like a nice little stretching.
Nice.
Moving around a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, Christmas on the horizon, but do you have a fight booked yet? Is there anything scheduled?
No, I'm in a tricky position. You know, I always knew I'd be in this position to where you're at the top of the division. You know, it doesn't really make sense to fight. You know, I'm guaranteed a title shot. Obviously, Aljo and Henry still have to be announced. So I'm kind of in that position to where I'm like, do I be smart like I've done my entire career and just wait for those two dorks to fight, or do I, you know, risk it and go fight someone else, which is wouldn't be the intelligent thing to do. But it's like you only get so many years to fight. I don't really like sitting around too much, but I'm leaning on towards, you know, waiting for Aljo and Henry to fight and just waiting for that.
Well, that seems like the smart thing to do, to be honest. I mean, going into that fight, it was kind of, I don't know, maybe it was official, but were you under the impression, had you won that fight, you were going to fight for the belt next?
Yeah, I know that's what Dana said. I know Henry was kind of leaning in the, is he going to fight? Is he too fat? So it was kind of up in the air. But I'm not really too worried about it. You know, I'm just training. I'm getting better. I know I need to improve in aspects of my grappling, whether I fight Aljo or Henry. They're both very heavy grapplers. So I'm fine with sitting out. I'm literally just, you know, grappling. That's all I'm really doing nowadays. So I'm fine waiting the next couple months, just keep getting better.
Well, yeah, no, exactly. You know, because as you say, stylistically, there's not, I mean, of course, they have certain things that they specifically prefer and whatnot, but they're both wrestlers. So whoever comes out on top, it's all going into the same pot, so to speak. Who do you think wins that fight?
To be honest, I think Aljo probably submits Henry. Who knows how hard Henry's been training, you know, these last few years. He had a baby. I mean, he clearly wasn't in, like, good shape. You know, every time you saw him at the fights, he looked fat, drunk. So I don't know. I think Aljo probably chokes him. I don't know what's taking so long for them to book that fight. So I don't know.
Yeah. We haven't had you on, have we, since you beat Peter Yan? So let's talk about that. I mean, that was by far the big standout victory of your career. I think in that, Sean, without kissing your ass, you answered a lot of questions because you've shown the ability to go out there and dominate people, you know, and that's awesome. Yeah, everyone loves to see that. But people also want to see that you're willing to be able to, I don't know, fight through the fire, be the hammer and the nail, all these different, you know, terms that they might use, but you showed that. You certainly showed you've got heart. You showed you can take a shot, showed you can continue to fight in a really, really difficult fight. So walk me through that fight from your perspective, because it was very impressive.
Yeah, I knew going into that fight, and I mean, I've seen, obviously, we've all seen Peter Yan fight. I wasn't expecting it to go out there and be easy. You know, I had a really good training camp, and, you know, I showed up in really good shape. I was focused for 3 months, 12 weeks, dialed in. You know, I ate right. I did everything right. And I think hadn't I not done everything right, you know, I'd probably get finished or that fight goes a different way. So I think, you know, just doing everything right helped me get through those moments, especially in the second when I took that left hand. It was a super close fight. I didn't leave that fight thinking I'm the fucking man. I'm the number one guy in the world. I'm the best. I left that fight just like I leave every single fight. Even if I go out and knock someone out, pretend I lost that fight, back to the drawing boards. Now I'm number one. I have a bullseye on my back. It was a really close fight, and, you know, rewatching it, scoring it off damage, supposedly that's the number one criteria, whatever. I'm not a judge. You know, I think the judges got it right. I know everybody, thought I was a robbery, but no one really knew what a robbery was until we saw Patty Pimblett's fight. So I think put that in perspective, my fight was definitely not a robbery.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you bring up the Patty fight there. What did you make of that?
You know, I watched it, you know, I was pretty focused in watching it. Usually I don't really care too much to really sit there and watch a full fight. I was pretty interested in that fight, and, you know, I thought he lost, but I even leaned over to my buddy and I said, I bet the judges give it to him. Like, I don't know what it is. If it's like the judges are watching the same, like the bet is the leading up, they're watching it, and in their mind, they're thinking, like, maybe it scores in a different way. I don't know. It was really weird. I thought he ate a lot of big shots. I thought he lost that fight, but I don't know.
That's the way it goes, though, isn't it? You know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, the judges make mistakes. You said you don't really watch too many fights, Sean. Is that true? You're not the biggest fan, shall we say, of the sport in general?
I mean, it's the sport I watch the most, but I don't watch any other sports at all. So, but I don't watch like a ton of fights. I'll, you know, if there's a huge fight, a huge card, I'll watch it. But for the most part, I'm not really super into every fight.
Yeah. So you're not one of those guys that can't miss a fight card. You watch everything. You're proper. I mean, of course you're a student of the game, but you're not one of these guys that has to watch everything. It's funny. You said something there. You're not the biggest sports fan. And neither am I. And I think a lot of the people that are in the MMA world, they're not either. You know what I mean? I mean, some people are, of course, but generally we just care about fight sports. Why do you think that is?
That's a good question. I don't know. Because growing up, I watched every single football game. I knew every player, even the offensive linemen. Like, I knew football. I never watched really basketball or baseball much, but I could have told you every player's name and, you know, 10 years ago in football. And then I slowly, once I moved to Arizona and started training full time down here, I just kind of stopped watching it as much. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's interesting because I always feel like I'm not a real man. Do you know what I mean? Because I can't join in those conversations when the guys are sitting around and they're talking about football and they're really having heated, passionate discussions. I'm like, I'll just look at my phone for a few minutes.
Yeah. No, my little brother and his buddies are the same way. They'll start talking football and I fuck off.
So 2022, all in all, been a good year for you, Sean. How many times were you in the octagon?
Beat up Prelim Pedro and then Peters twice, two times, which... You know, two minimum is kind of where I'm leaning. So I'm hoping, you know, if I do fight in July next year, which seems like a long time, like, you know, July, December, maybe it's kind of hard to predict fighting nowadays, especially at the top. But
yeah, no. Well, two fights is great. As you said, not fighting till July, though. When I saw you say that, I was like, that's a bit weird, but I do get it. I mean, it gives you a lot of time to go out there, improve your takedown defense and get ready and all the rest of it. But also, you're in your prime. You're a huge star. The more you fight, the more money you make. And we all like making money.
Yeah, it's nice that I'm not hurting for money. It changes it to where some of these guys, you know, Henry, are literally fighting because they're broke. So
it's nice. You think that's the reality? You think Henry's hurting for cash?
If I had to honestly guess, I would probably say yeah. I mean, he's been out for a while. The reason he retired is because he wanted to make more. He thought UFC would miss him. They didn't. He came back, crawling back. So yeah, if I had to guess, I'd probably say that was the reason. He couldn't have made that much while he was in the UFC. He was never really a draw. You make money. You make the real money, the pay-per-view fights, and he never really made much off that.
Yeah. You say you're not hurting for money. It certainly doesn't look like it. You know what I mean? You are dripped head to toe in cool design and fashion wherever I see you. We got the pink Lamborghini. I see you rocking the Tesla. What? Which model is it? What's it called?
The Model X Plaid.
Yeah, the X Plaid. What else you got? Are they just the two cars you got?
I got the Model 3 Performance, the Model Y, the X Plaid. And the Lambo, and I'm trying not to. I'm buying another house. I'm buying my fourth house here in a couple. We're going through the process right now, so trying not to buy too many cars.
Life is good for Sean O'Malley right now. I mean, which one do you go to pick up the kid from daycare or whatever? I'm assuming she loves the pink Lamborghini.
Yeah, she's two right now, so she doesn't know how cool it is yet. But no, she goes to like Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Right now she's with Danny's mom, so her grandma, and she picks her up and drops her off. So I don't really pick her up too much. And if we got to go anywhere, we'll take the X with the X Plaid. That one's kind of the dad car.
Yeah. It's not a bad dad car, to be fair. You know what I mean?
It's the fastest one I have, right?
Well, that's just what I was going to ask you. Which one is the fastest? Because so you got the Model S. They're like shit off a shovel. The Lamborghini, I mean, that speaks for itself. But you said the Model X Plaid, that's the fastest out of the three.
I do think so. It's such a weird pickup. The Lambo's fast too, and it's loud, but I think the X Plaid might be a little bit quicker, 0 to 60 maybe, or they're tied. But the X Plaid, it really throws your head back.
Yeah. Let me ask you about the charging situation. You've got two Teslas. We have one at our house. My wife just has a very humble Model 3.
Yeah.
Her life revolves around the charging center. We don't have one of the rapid chargers at the house. Do you have one of those?
Oh, yeah. That makes it very convenient.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass, the charging side of things. Don't get me wrong, it's awesome, and I'm all for the green and all the rest of it. And they are phenomenal cars, but the charging sucks, man. It's a pain in the ass.
How come you don't have one at your house?
Because they cost $10,000, bro.
No, you can get a $500 one, and then you have an electrician come out, set it up, and then it charges in like a couple hours. Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I'll look into that then.
You got to. That'll change the game. You just get an electrician come out. Electrician will probably be more than the actual charger itself.
Yeah. Oh, I had no idea. Well, thank you for that. I'll look into it.
Yeah.
Henry Cejudo, Volkanovski, one of those two will be your next fight in July.
Aljo.
I meant Aljo, my bad. What else is going on? Gearing up for Christmas next week? Any big plans?
Fucking A. I'm so bad with holidays and stuff. I mean, I'd get a little bit better now that I have a baby. She's two, so she doesn't really, really know. But
yeah,
it's so weird being from Montana when Christmas comes around and there's no snow outside or anything. It just doesn't even feel like Christmas. So no real plans, kind of just hanging out. Literally, I feel like I'm just in camp, in jiu-jitsu camp. My life right now, you know, I did jiu-jitsu hard comp training this morning. I'm going to go to gi jiu-jitsu this afternoon. Hard wrestling tomorrow. It's pretty much just, I feel like I'm in jiu-jitsu camp right now. So holidays and all that stuff are just kind of non-existent until the day of. And I'm like, oh shit, it's fucking Christmas.
How do you stay so motivated to continue training like that on that kind of regimen? Because it seems, I mean, I see the Bob in the background. You're talking about training, you're getting ready for July, but that's in, you know, in fight term sense, a lifetime away, but you're still truly motivated to be getting back in the gym every day to try and, you know, just get better and better.
Yeah. Honestly, just training with guys that are better than me, you know, you go into the gym and you fucking lose. It sucks. Like you know, that's where you need to be. You need to be training with guys that are going to be choking you, beating you. And so it's like, I'm 28. I got a target on my back. I want to be world champion. Everybody in the top five is tough. And I love going out there and putting up performances. And I know that I'd regret it if I don't just stay consistent and stay disciplined, but it's not easy. That, trust me, I took the boys to Vegas. I hadn't drank after till last weekend. I took the boys to Vegas and we went to club and stuff. God damn it, do I have a good time at the club, Michael Bisping. I love going
Come on.
But I can't. Oh God, I can't do it. I can't do it too often. So, you know, it is hard. I have all these opportunities to go out and do all these things. I got money. I got, you know, freedom. I got all this. I got everything I need, but I need to be in the gym. I know that's where I have to be. And, you know, I'm still just doing it. So, you know, maybe after I'm world champ, a couple title defenses, maybe I lean up and start fucking up then, but I'm going to wait till at least then.
As you say, you're not hurting for money. You're a big star. You got a title fight, hopefully on the horizon. What would you say? But I'm assuming, and I don't know this for a fact, and if I'm prying too much, just tell me and I'll shut the hell up. But it looks like you make a lot of money outside the Octagon as well, Sean. You've got a lot of different endeavors you're involved with, sponsors, podcasts, all kinds of things. What would you say to some fighters out there that are trying to increase their earning power between fights? Any advice for them?
Yeah, I mean, I would say numbers translates to money. You know, ish, kind of like you have to grind, you have to grow on social media. You got to be authentic too. You know, I always say comedy sent, like people are going to, you know, if you can make someone laugh, that's always a good thing. So kind of with all my social media posts, when I'm doing like a sponsored post or anything, you know, I don't want it to look just like I'm just trying to, hey guys, buy this. I want to give a good giggle out of them. You know, the brands love it. You know, I can go make a reel and get a million views. You know, that they're getting their money's worth. And so I'd say, yeah, just try to grow your social media and fucking be funny.
Be authentic. That's the main thing, isn't it? Regardless, whatever it is, you got to be. So yeah. People can sniff out bullshit.
Right. And it sucks if you're just not a funny person. Like me and you, we're silly. We can make someone giggle, but some people just aren't fucking funny. And I don't really have any advice for them.
Some people are just boring as fuck. Yeah, let's be honest. They are. Oh, the poor guys. I feel sorry for them.
Seems to be the wrestlers for some reasons.
Well, what do you expect? They just want to take people down and hold them down. They want to lie in their guard and lay and pray. All right, let's just talk about Rocket Money, formerly known as True Bill. Look, listen, a lot of us, if you look at your bank statement, you've got tons of subscriptions going out every week, every month, every year, and you don't know about them. When you add them all together, you're losing hundreds of dollars per month. Listen, it might be an old Amazon Prime account, maybe a Hulu account that you never, ever used, tried it out at first, and then you gave up on it. Who knows? Maybe it's an app on your phone that you signed up to, and you forgot about it. Most Americans think that they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions when the actual total cost is about $200 plus. That's right. You are wasting hundreds of dollars per month. And the reason is that you're doing this because you don't know about it. And even if you do know about it, canceling them is very, very time consuming, very difficult. They purposely make you jump through hoops. That is where Rocket Money comes in. The app shows all of your subscriptions in one place and cancels the ones that you don't want. Rocket Money can even find subscriptions that you didn't know that you were paying for. And you may even find out that you've been double charged for a subscription. To cancel a subscription, guess what? Here's what you do. You press cancel. That's it. It's done. Rocket Money takes care of the rest. A lot of the time, you've got to contact the bank. You've got to call them up. You've got to jump through a lot of hoops and waste your day. You get frustrated. You hang up. You forget about it. And you're still paying that money out. As I say, Rocket Money shows it right there and then on the app. And you just go, cancel, cancel, cancel. No, I'll keep that one. I like that one. But cancel that one. Money saved. Money in your pocket. So right now, don't fall for the subscription scams. Cancel unnecessary subscriptions with Rocket Money today. Go to rocketmoney.com/believe. Seriously, this will save you hundreds of dollars per year. rocketmoney.com/believe. Lose the useless subscriptions. Save hundreds of dollars per year by going to rocketmoney.com/believe. Harrington, come on the show. Show yourself.
You're Harrington, what familiar. Up, big dog?
What's up, Sean? How you doing, man?
There he is. What up, brother? Just chilling.
Hell yeah, dude. Okay, so I have some questions here. Mike put out a tweet. The fans want to know. Straight Jacket Johnny asked, how's the peen injection working out?
Hold on. Peen injection? What is this, Sean?
Yeah, I went to Tijuana for some stem cells. My coach Tim, his shoulder's super fucked up and does not want to get surgery. So we found this company out in Tijuana. I think we actually heard him on Rogan first, CPI stem cells. And so we scheduled a trip there for after my Peter Yan fight because I knew I was going to be fucking sore. So we went out there. We go out there. We're getting stem cells. And this guy's there. We're like, what are you here for? He's like, oh, I'm getting my dick stem cell. I'm like, what the fuck? Why? He's like, well, it's supposed to help with performance and girth. And I said, fucking count me in. So,
I mean, you know what?
It's been about.
You seem like a virile man, though. You seem like a man that doesn't need help in the bedroom. We know it works. You've got your little princess. But hey, come on. Who doesn't want a little extra?
Hey, you know what? I was sitting there like, hey, we'll hook you up. We'll do it. I'm like, fuck it. Hot doctor. You know, I even had her, you know, so I scored. No, it was fun. It wasn't too painful.
Do you know what?
I don't know how much performance came out of it, but I've been on a rampage. So maybe it has helped.
I was at a doctor's, I think it was last year or the year before. And there was some stem cell guys came in. I didn't get stem cell, whatever. But there was one of the doctors, she was a woman. And she was good looking, but she was also a woman that helped if women couldn't climax and stuff like that. And the more I was talking to her, I was thinking, holy shit, you're an interesting person and very good looking. Might have been the same person, Sean. Did you get the penis injection? Did it hurt? Talk me through that.
Yeah, I did.
Into right the head of the penis?
No, it's at the base. I just kind of looked away. I laid on my back and it didn't feel good. It hurt for a little bit, not like pain, not super painful, but it wasn't the best feeling ever. Would I do it again? Probably.
let's talk about the results. What are we saying? Was this worth it?
I don't know. The performance has been, I've been performing pretty well. I can't complain about that. I don't know if that's due to the stem cells or due to, 'cause I'm 28. Yeah. And fucking sexy. I don't know.
Oh, 28 in the prime of your life. Go on, Harrington.
Yeah.
Must be nice. So you talked earlier that if a fighter's not funny, you can't really do much to help him. Let's see. Goofy GoofCon wants to know, who are your top three funniest fighters in the UFC?
I'd have to say, humbly, Michael Bisping, Chael Sonnen, and Connor were the three that I enjoyed listening to the most. There's those things on YouTube that I don't know what page I always see like the best moments of, and then it's like they clip a bunch of the embedded episodes and countdown and all. You know what I'm talking about? That?
Yeah.
I watched you versus Dan Henderson 2 yesterday, and it was fucking, it was just good comedy, good comedy.
You got to have a laugh. You got to have a laugh. I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? A lot of fighters, and this is a serious sport. It's the most serious sport. But if you can't have a laugh leading up to it, if you can't talk shit, but in a funny, friendly way. Because let's be honest, you know, we're not talking about people's children's wives, anything like that. But we're going to have a bit of fun. We're going to fight. I'm going to try and cave your head in on TV. So I can talk a little bit of shit leading up to it.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
Harrington.
Yes, sir.
No need to jump off, brother. No need to jump off.
Sorry, I was getting distracted. How long does it take you before a fight to come up with the hair color that you're going to do? And then how long do you spend braiding before a fight?
The hair color could be, you know, we could come up with an idea randomly a couple weeks out, a couple months out. Usually I let Danny kind of, it's kind of just random, honestly. Like, I have no idea what we're going to do for my next hair color. And I might not know until a couple weeks out from the fight. So, and then braiding it before the fight usually takes about, I'd say, usually the UFC hires, like in Abu Dhabi, they hired this this one girl, and she was just fucking so good. She was like a black belt braider. So she did it pretty quick, probably an hour, and it was just, it was smooth. So I'd say depending on who's braiding it, Danny's braiding it, she's pretty good at braids. Takes her a little bit longer. She gets quicker each time though, but yeah, about an hour, hour and a half.
I liked the red that you went with last time. That was cool. You know,
Yeah, thank you.
I like the red. And it's funny, I shouldn't even bring this up, but I saw those type of videos you're talking about on YouTube where it shows like compilations or whatever. I saw one yesterday, and it was where it was you and Jan at the thing, and you were talking shit about his height, and he came back and said, "Yes, you look like Hooker on Side of Street."
Yeah.
And you, and you, and you were like, "You know what? Yeah, fair enough. That was a
good one." I kind of do. Yeah, I couldn't. I didn't have anything to come back with there. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah,
I just
yeah.
gotta beat him up now.
Son of a bitch. Go on, Harrington.
All right. I mean, this. I'm sure this gets corny for you to be asked all the time, but it got asked about 15 times in the comments here. At Tacey wants to know, what's your favorite strain right now?
This lady that came and did this interior design for me. For us, Danny and I, we're going to do something with our house, and her boyfriend grows weed outdoors. I like an outdoor strain that's grown, grown outdoor. I don't remember what it was called. I don't remember what it's called, but it's this outdoor one. I feel like I'd prefer an outdoor grown weed than indoor. So I don't remember what it's called.
Can you
though.
Tell? I mean, I am no connoisseur. I don't really smoke weed. I do some edibles and whatnot, but nothing against it. I just, my mind, I start really talking to myself in my mind. I go crazy. You can tell if it's grown indoor or outdoor.
I feel like it's similar to like food, like an organic quality piece of meat compared to like a really cheap piece of meat.
No,
I feel like it's kind of like that, where you can, some people can tell, some people can't, but I feel like a nice organic high is a lot better than a high that's just kind of a cheap sprayed with pesticides, non-organic, kind of feels like it gives you like a fuzzy high to where it's almost uncomfortable, but a nice quality organic outdoor grown flower, I feel like gives you a lot more quality, clear-headed high.
You got any more good ones there, Harrington?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people were asking about this here. You made some headlines earlier today when you said that Sean Strickland could be part of a Netflix documentary series. What would that be? What would you title that documentary?
Yeah, I saw someone clip that, quote that too. Sometimes I'm like, why do I say shit? I just, it's when you do a podcast 2 hours every week, I'm like, I'm bound to say something. I said he was going to be like on a murderer. Like if anyone's going to come up with some random Netflix series that some murderer is going to be Sean Strickland. But I like Strong. You know what? We've had our back and forth. I think he is a good guy. He just says some crazy shit, but so do I. So nothing against him.
Nah, he says a lot of crazy shit. And I'm the same way. I've got nothing against him. I know Sean. I've trained with him, you know, quite a fair bit over the years. You know, he's in the same area. Did you see his fight on Saturday?
I was watching. Jared trains at the lab. So I was watching here and there. I wasn't like super, I didn't watch it super closely, but I was looking over every once in a while. And dude, God, Jared's a scary dude, but so is Sean Strickland. He's a big guy, lengthy guy, quick, snappy jab. I actually want to watch that, rewatch that fight to where I can pay a little bit more attention. So I kind of watched it.
Yeah. It was close. It was a very, very close fight. I mean, Sean landed more. Jared had the power shots. It goes back to the damage, and there's a whole debate over it. I thought Jared won, but it was a close one. You know what I mean? It was one of those, go either side. We'll let you go in just a second. Christmas is next week. What's the plans and what's on the dinner table Christmas day?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of, now that I have, you know, the nice house and all the shit, it's kind of like on me to host it and do all that shit. But I'm just, I'm not good at that stuff. So I kind of just, I don't know. I haven't even planned it out, to be honest. I have no idea.
Do you have the parents over? Are they going to come and stay at your place?
My mom actually lives in Arizona now. My dad just left. He came and visited for about a week. So I'll have my mom, my two brothers, and my sister. They all live in Arizona. So they'll all come over. And I'm sure we'll do something. But as far as what we're eating, what we're doing, no idea.
What do they make of it, Sean? You know, I mean, I come from a very working class background. I'm not sure about yourself. I'm assuming most fighters do. What do they make of, you know, they come over, you're doing well, you got a beautiful place, multiple properties, you got pink Lamborghinis on the driveway. I'm assuming they're ridiculously proud, but are they also a little bit shocked at the success of their little boy?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't even know really how to answer that. My mom, I'd be screwed without her. She does so much for me, especially when it comes to like taxes and making sure everything's up to making sure all the insurances, I got everything done. So I'm making that. She's make sure I cross all the T's and dot all the I's, but she just hates that I smoke weed. She just, for some reason, she's a Christian, and she just hates that I smoke weed, and it drives her crazy. But I mean, we get along really well, but I don't know what goes through her mind, to be honest.
Well, it's a different generation, isn't it? My mom's the same way. Come on, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard tough. For them to It is. All right, buddy. Well, listen, we'll leave you to it. New Year's Eve, doing anything special?
Yeah, see, New Year's, I'm planning out a little bit further. I'm thinking about taking the boys out again. I said if I can get through these next however many more weeks, days it is, and just be super consistent on doing jiu-jitsu, you know, 6-7 times a week, hitting all the classes, and I stay dialed in until then, that I might take the boys out to Scottsdale and celebrate out there. So potentially doing that, but depends. We'll see how I'm feeling.
People of Scottsdale, lock up or just be careful. New Year's Eve, O'Malley and the boys are going out. Well, you say you'd be screwed without your mother. I'd be screwed without you, because today Anthony Lionheart Smith has stood me up. So if you weren't here, I'd just be with Harrington. Nobody.
Harrington's a good dude,
that.
Though.
No, he's the
got
man.
The Twitter. He's got the Twitter popped up.
Yeah, no, he's the man. Sean, you're the man. Also, listen, thanks for joining us. Always a pleasure, man. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, all the best for next year. Looking forward to seeing you back in the octagon. Take care. There he is, Sugar Sean O'Malley. Thank you for joining us, buddy. Anyway, 1 second. All right, right before Sean jumped on, we were talking about Jared Cannonier, Sean Strickland. I did an instant review on my YouTube channel. I thought Jared Cannonier won. Now, it was close. You know what I mean? Sean landed more head strikes. I think completely, you know, head, body, legs. I think Jared might have landed more. But here's what I was saying on my YouTube, because Sean's main weapon, and I'm not saying this as an insult. It's not. It's his jab. He has a very, very good, fast jab. When he let go with the hands, with the combinations, he was quick and he looked really, really dangerous. But they were kind of few and far between. And I was saying, because obviously, damage is the number one criteria. There is other criterias, but that's the main one. At the end of it, Sean's nose was a bit busted up. That, you know, looks like a bit more damage there. The leg was kind of red and raw. It was causing him to switch stances a little bit as well. So there was obviously damage to the leg, damage to the face. And one point I said is that if I was a judge and I said, all right, so this guy's going to go boom, 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 jab you in the face 3 times, and the other guy's going to go, wah, wah, as hard as he can with the right and left hook. I know which one I'd rather experience again. And it wouldn't be the jab. Do you know what I mean? So it wouldn't be the right hand left hook as hard as possible. I'd take the jabs all day long. But what do you think? Who do you think won?
So I did think I gave the first two rounds to Jared Cannonier. I gave the third a very close round to Sean Strickland, the fourth to Sean Strickland, and the fifth to Jared Cannonier. So by that criteria, yeah. I did... I think it was Cannonier. I did see the massive discrepancy in headshots, right? And this is what kind of shocked me about the judges. Like the headshot volume from Sean Strickland was like 3-1. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, these are a lot of boxing judges who are primarily boxing judges who are calling these UFC fights. So I thought you might see a split decision in favor of Sean Strickland going to the judges. I think they did get it right. I do like Sean's movement is, you know, it's just so, it seems like very tough to beat, but somebody like an Alex Pereira, right? The top end of the division, that style, I feel like is just never going to work against them.
No, well, no, it's not. And we saw how that went down, you know, but Sean does have good movement. When you spar with him, He's kind of tricky. He's very elusive, you know, and he's hard to find. He's hard to hit. Hey, listen, so what's that's two losses in a row for Sean. But he's fighting, I mean, number one, Pereira's now the champ. Cannonier's what, number three, you know? So, you know, he's still young enough. He can make some changes, maybe add some things, you know, maybe add a few kicks, maybe add some takedowns. I always talk about his grappling, but still, congrats, Jared Cannonier. What else was on the fight card that night? Let's have a look. Armin Sarukian beat Ismagulov. Good win. Ismagulov is great. Armin Sarukian stuck to the game plan. You know, Ismagulov kept bobbing up to his feet. He try again. If at first you don't succeed, what do you do, Harrington?
Try again.
And he got the job done eventually. Was it the rear naked choke that he got him with?
I think that went to a decision. He was fighting for the choke. He had it like on the chin pretty tight.
That's right.
End of round three. But after the fight, he called for either Oliveira or Beneil Dariush.
Yeah, and I like that. I mean, Oliveira's got to come back at some point. I'm not sure who that's going to be. But Armin Sarukian, Charles Oliveira. I mean, I'd like to see it. I'm not sure. I mean, what is he, like number 10 or something, Sarukian? Something like that?
Yeah, 12? I think he defended the number 10 spot. He might have been 12 and they expect him to move down to 10.
He deserves a big fight. He does deserve a big fight. Let's have a look. Any big talking points you want to get to, Harrington, before we
arguably knockout of the year. And I heard you actually had, I saw you had a great take on this on Twitter. Bobby Green versus Drew Dober.
Oh, yeah. Jeez Louise. Yeah, what a fight that was. I mean, I predicted that to be fight of the night. Bobby Green, this man's awesome. Right? Did you see him on the pre-fight press conferences or whatever? He's in like a tangerine waistcoat with the jewelry on, the gold. He's a smooth motherfucker. I mean, could you imagine what one of us would look like with that on? I mean, he's got the perfect skin tone for it, but you know what I mean? I like Bobby. I like listening to him talk and I like watching him fight. And he was slick. He was fantastic, you know, but the hands are low. He has that style. He can get away with it. He's got the reflexes. He's got the speed. He was picking Drew Dober apart, busting up his face, busting up the nose. But you've got to bring the hands up, especially when someone like Drew Dober has you backed up against the fence and they're unloading with everything they have. At that point, you've got to cover up into a defensive shell. He got clipped. He went down. Yeah, it was sad to see. I felt for Bobby there because I like him a lot. And we know we've had him on the show. You know, he had it really, really tough growing up. But hey, listen, I'm sure Drew Dober's life wasn't a bed of roses either. What do you think?
I mean, on the flip side, Drew Dober, man, this is now two fights in a row where he has been squarely getting beaten up, right, taking extreme damage from McKinney and Bobby Green in back-to-back fights, smiling through it and still coming forward like a damn Terminator. He is hard to put down. And there's something about that where I'm tuning into every Drew Dober fight now. So fun to watch.
Oh, no, Drew Dober's been a beast right from day one. So, yeah, congratulations to him. We'll reach out, try and get him on the show, actually. All right, Jake Shields. Ooh. Go on.
I was just going to say, final one, you sent this. Really, really, really bad cut on the prelims. Garcia got an artery opened up in the side of his head.
Oh, yeah.
2 hours in the back getting stitched up, trying to get that blood to stop.
Yeah, so it doesn't. I did send this because I thought one Lionheart Smith would be here. I thought he'd be committed to the show. Didn't think he'd be, you know, he's only just signed up to full-time and he's not even here already. Do you know what I mean? And I thought me and him could compare war stories. Lionheart Smith. What is the deepest cut? What is the worst one you've ever had? It's not quite the same conversation with you, Harrington. No offense.
I have taken some rough paper cuts in my day as a podcast producer, Mr. Bisping.
Yeah, so Rafa Garcia, what was it? So he got, look at that. I mean, there was a lot of blood. There was a lot of blood in that. So what, he elbowed the...
Mahasate got the elbow to the side of the head and it just immediately sliced open up and apparently it hit an artery. So he was just leaking like crazy for the fight. I did say we were doing like a live fight companion here at Gas and I asked the question, like, has there ever been a case where a fighter has lost so much blood? He's just too woozy to continue because if you're not getting it with a busted artery, I don't know what ever would.
Well, it says here in the notes, he lost roughly 20% of his blood. I mean, I'm surprised if the blood and there was a lot of blood over both of them, Mahasate and Garcia. Yeah. I mean, that's meant the good thing for him, though, it wasn't going into the eyes. That's predominantly what they look for. If it doesn't go in the eyes, they allow them to fight because it's just a bit of blood and it looks worse than what it is. But Jesus fucking Christ, cutting open one of his arteries. Hey, he won the fight. It's all worth it. As me and Lionheart always say, it doesn't matter how badly bust up you are on a cut. Nothing really, let's be honest. As long as you win that fight, you go home a winner. You couldn't care less. And then also, you've got the badass photographs. Do you know what I mean? Because you look brilliant. You're covered in blood. So, yeah, I won the fight. No problem. So well done to him.
And let's be honest, you lose that much blood, post-fight drinks are hitting twice as hard.
100%. He was out of his goddamn mind afterwards. Speaking of out of his goddamn mind, Jake Shields. Jake Shields is a buddy of mine. I've known Jake for years. I've trained with him. He's an awesome guy, but he knows how to bloody polarize an audience on Twitter, shall we say, which led to this instance. But give a bit of background for those that don't know Harrington.
So Jake Shields, as you said, very outspoken on Twitter, and you know, some of his comments, you know, leaning towards you know, some conservative ways of thinking, have led to the ire of Mike Jackson, who went so far the other way as to call Jake Shields a white nationalist and a Nazi. Jake Shields was like, "All right, let's see if you keep that same energy when I see you," and this is what happened.
Y'all look literally just fucking. You're a bitch. You're fucking. Can somebody get this motherfucker on me?
I mean, you can't blame Jake, to be honest. You know, I mean, yeah, he has you know, he has his views, nothing too controversial. You know what I mean? He's not for the vaccines. You know, he feels there was an overreaction with the COVID, whatever. Everyone's entitled to their own opinions. You know, he is not a Nazi. He's certainly not a racist. I've known Jake for a long time, but he is good at jiu-jitsu, as Mike Davis found out very, very quick. You know, when I roll with Jake, it's the downward pressure that that man has is unbelievable. And I just think it's pretty embarrassing for Mike Davis as a grown fighter to be asking other people in the room, can you get him off me for? Can you help, essentially? Can you help? Mike Davis, I'm drawing a blank on him.
Mike Jackson.
Mike Jackson.
He fought CM Punk.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
I mean, he's been in the company for a while. But yeah, I mean, that's, I don't know, like that, it's rough. Like Jake did come out after the fact and he's like, look, like at the end of the day, you should have respect for the legends of the sport. Like who came before you, like he could never picture himself saying a bad word about guys like Chuck Liddell or the generation before him. So for somebody to be coming at him like that is kind of crazy. But like, I don't know, man. That's a bad look as a fighter to get, you know, where you can't get out from a guy who's been retired for quite some time in Jake Shields.
You know, as I said, though, Jake Shields does have some of the best grappling. American jiu-jitsu proponent, big time. No, I like Jake. I like Jake a lot. And a fair play. I mean, listen, I'm not condoning fights starting at the Performance Institute. You know what I mean? And by all accounts, I've read that the UFC have banned him from there. Mm-hmm. Which I kind of get because he's not on the roster. He's a former fighter and they've got to make an example. They can't have people starting fights. You know, certainly in an environment where most people there are professional fighters or they're cornermen or coaches. Basically, everyone has combat experience. Everyone knows how to fight. There has to be, you know, this tone in the room. That regardless of what goes on social media or what anyone says, or even if your opponent that you're going to fight this weekend, even if you're in the same room, you've got to hold it together. You know what I mean? We're not wild animals. You know what I'm saying? So I guess they had to make an example out of Jake, which kind of sucks because if somebody was calling me a racist and a Nazi, I wouldn't take that too kindly either.
The PI has to be like the Continental from John Wick. You know, no business on company grounds, period.
I haven't seen John Wick.
Are you serious?
I swear to God. I mean, I saw a little bit of it where his dog dies. Yeah.
It's such a good movie, Mike. You would love it.
I know.
This is crazy. For all the grief you give Anthony Smith, this is a movie you would love.
Yes,
you would love.
I also tried to be in the latest one and they didn't like my audition tape. So I'm not watching it based upon that. No. I'm dying to watch them. Mrs. Bisping, she rules the roost with an iron fist, might I say. Rules the remote control. When we go to bed, you know what I mean? It's fucking Downton Abbey and you just, Schitt's Creek. Right now it's the White Lotus. You know what I mean? And I just look at my phone.
That's a fun bedtime show. That's such a good bedtime show. It's slow and it looks pretty. It's made for falling asleep too.
Season 1 was really good. Did you like season 1?
Season 2 is 3 times better.
Is it really? Because I put the first episode on and I couldn't take it. It just seemed far too woke. And all the, I can't deal with it when they've got the agenda politics and the ticking boxes left, right, and center. My mind just goes, fuck this. I turn it off.
Fair enough. I mean, it's, I don't know. It's fun. Like anything written by someone who lives in Hollywood, he doesn't have a real grasp on what the real world is like. But Mike White has always written very funny dialogue in all of his movies. So it plays really well with the actors in the show.
Okay. Well, I'm sure it's fantastic. And I'll have to, and my wife loves it because I went away. Where I was? I was in Toronto last week. So she's bang into it now. So I have no idea what's going on, but she puts it on every night. You know what I'm saying? So I just, whatever. But we're not here to talk about the White fucking Lotus, Harrington. Stop. We're here. This is non-MMA. It's the MMA world, but we're going to do a non-MMA story. What have we got?
Okay. There is a new diet trend. I know you were saying before the show, feeling a little bit under the weather. This can change everything. It's set to eliminate headaches, to eliminate sinus issues, to get rid of any kind of nagging cough, cold, whatever the case may be, and really restore your gut health.
So I have sinus issues. I can't breathe through my nose. Okay.
I've got
the worst cough. I've had it for about 3 weeks now. Lucas brought it into the house and then slowly but surely Rebecca got it. And now I've got it and I've had it for weeks. Blazing headache. I'd take some more ibuprofen right before the show started. So you have my attention. But when I saw it was called the Lion Heart Diet.
The Lion Diet.
The Lion Diet. Because I was like, can we stop pandering to Anthony so much that we're now naming diets after him? But go on, give me the details on this.
So the idea is your entire diet, right? Everything you ingest will include one of three things. That's it. Meat, salt, and water. So any kind of broth, any kind of soup. If you're going to have just a steak and a glass of water, you're cutting out your coffee. You're cutting out any kind of milk, dairy, any kind of nuts, any kind of allergen you would possibly take in outside of just meat, salt, and water for 30 days.
Yeah, that is very interesting. But even on the carnivore diet, and just, Brian, just look up the definition of the carnivore diet, because I see Joyce St. Pierre and I know a bunch of other people, Rogan was a big proponent of it for a long time. Even in the carnivore diet, you're allowed to have berries and certain sprouts and shoots, I believe, you know, just to help the digestive process and whatnot. And make you be able to go for a shit as well, because you know that will be an issue. But that's meant to be very, very healthy, is it? I mean, because does it go on, Brian?
It says here that the carnivore diet includes meat, fish, and other animal foods like eggs and certain dairy products. It excludes all other foods, including fruits, vegetables, legumes, grains, nuts, and seeds.
So it's literally just meat.
Yeah, but the Lion diet is just like red meat and salt.
Yeah, but that's not healthy. It can't be healthy. But you know what? It's funny. I'm trying to think of the term. When I was on Red Sonja, one of the producers on there, a very nice man called Les, he sent me this article. We had a conversation at dinner one night, and he was telling me that, what are they called? Because without this point, this conversation is pointless. Vegetables, plants, whatever, are not designed to be eaten by us. Right. And they will poison us slowly but surely. And a lot of shoulder pain, joint pain, stuff like that comes from a certain product in vegetables.
If you're telling me vegetables make you sick, that makes me so happy, because
that's what he was saying.
I'm a little kid when it comes to vegetables, dude. I still hate eating my vegetables. So please bring on the Lion diet.
No way. I couldn't do the Lion diet. Salt, meat, and water. That's it.
Well, like, I like the idea of eliminating, like, if I could get myself off of coffee, if I could get myself off of dairy, I feel like I would feel better after 30 days. And
why dairy?
I mean, I just in general, like the people I know, like, your body's not meant to process that either, for sure, right?
Well, I'm saying, do you have an issue with it though? Do you fucking, because I eat a fair bit of dairy. I love cheese. I grew up on milk essentially. I drank a lot of milk as a kid, cereal. But so I'm fine with it. But Tyron Woodley and lots of others do have a bad reaction and fart their fucking heads off.
So I do know people who are lactose intolerant, but I do also feel like there's a thing where we get used to like a certain level of discomfort and it just becomes the standard. Yeah. And we don't even think about how bad we're feeling. So trying this idea of just an elimination diet, getting rid of this stuff that does harm other people and seeing how it affects me to not intake that stuff would probably make me feel a lot better.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And listen, we should. People always talk about this. You know, you're going on diets and then you fail and you start again and all the rest of it. And some people mock and whatnot. But hey, at least you one is trying to improve themselves. You know, and I say it all the time. But today, me and my wife, because ever since I came back from Bulgaria, you know, I've been like, well, I was just disciplined for months there. You know what I mean? I worked my ass off. I got in crazy shape to get there. I was in very, very good shape there for a while. And I was like, I'm allowed to step off the gas a little bit. Well, now it's time to step back on the gas. And of course, it's Christmas round the corner. So I'm going to allow myself Christmas Day. But I'm trying to get, not in shape for Christmas, but I want to feel better, you know. And as I'm getting older, 43, 44 in February, you know what I mean? Now it's time to really start looking after the body. Don't want to die a miserable, slow death, Harrington, believe it or not.
Yeah, I know. It stinks. Like, this is the first time I've ever processed that. Like, man, I got to stick around for this kid now. You know what I mean? Like, there was always the escape plan before. Now, I'm in it until I'm at least like 60, 70. So I should probably start taking care of myself.
And you want to provide a good lifestyle for that child. You know what I mean? Because my motivation in life, and this is true, isn't for me. I've earned some money. I've lived a life. You know, I could sit on my backside and do nothing. I could rest on my laurels, but I want to provide a certain life for my children. And if God forbid they all end up bloody losers, which they're not going to, I know they're not going to, but I want to be able to die and leave them something, you know what I mean? So that they can, if they're Michael Bisping without the mixed martial arts discovery, then they'll be okay and be able to see a doctor and not be homeless.
Are we just going to scoot past the fact that Harrington just said the escape plan and then just left it like that?
Hold on, what did he say about escape plan?
I'm just making the point that, you know, like,
oh, sorry, honestly, you mean in terms of the kid.
Like, I'm just saying, in life in general, I feel like all of us at a certain point, you can just say, all right, enough of this. Like, I don't know. There was a long part of my life where I was living like, let's see what happens. Like, who cares?
We're gonna get demonetized talking about all this.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Shopify really quickly. Shopify, it's basically a tool, a service that will take your business, your store, whatever it is that you sell online to the whole worldwide marketplace. And it does it quick, fast, and cheaply. A lot of people might think to get online, I've got to hire a website developer. Then I've got to get an e-commerce section and I've got to figure out payment methods and all the rest of it. Well, Shopify makes it extremely quick and easy, cost effective. And as I say, instantly lets you accept all major payment methods, which is a really, really big one. Now, if you don't believe them, give them a try. This is how confident Shopify are. If you are looking to take your business online, try the 14-day free trial because that is what they're offering. All you got to do is go to the website, shopify.com/believe, all lowercase. You're going to get a free 14-day trial and you also get access to Shopify's entire suite of features. You can reach customers online across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. You gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond. Shopify is more than a store. Shopify grows with you, and as I say, instantly lets you accept all major payment methods. So listen, if you're looking to get online, if you're looking for a website, if you're looking to sell your products to the worldwide audience, there's no easier and no better way or more cost-effective way than doing it with Shopify. So once again, go to shopify.com, right? Connect with your customers. You can drive sales. You can manage your day-to-day. You can instantly accept all major payment methods. That's a big one, okay? Go to shopify.com/believe. You're going to get 2 weeks to try this out. If you don't like it, then you don't go with them. But you're going to have 2 weeks to give it a try, and you are going to absolutely love all the support that you get. You're going to love how easy it is, how fast, how cost-effective, and, of course, how many more sales you do actually achieve. Shopify.com/believe, a free 14-day trial. Anyway, one thing that I did see Saturday night, and don't plan on leaving us anytime soon, Harrington. You do have a child to stick around for. Saturday night on the fights, I think that was when the first promos for the Power Slap Boxing League, or Power Slap, Slap Boxing, Power Slap, whatever the fuck it's called, Power Slap. The first promos for that came out. And what was revealed that I don't think a lot of people knew was Dana and Lorenzo. It broke in the news quite some time ago. Jesus, my phone is going off every 2 seconds.
Breaking news?
No, not breaking news. WhatsApp groups. Bing, 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 bing. I've got it on silent, but it's there. And I'm doing my head in. So they're doing a reality TV show. They're doing Ultimate Fighter with slap boxers in a house. It's going to be on TBS, that channel. It's going to be huge. I mean, I've known about this for quite a while. As I said on the last show, I am involved with it. Don't know how much I can say. So I'm certainly not going to give anything away, but they've got a real cast of characters, putting them in a house. I mean, these are wild people. They are crazy people. Let's be honest. If you're willing to stand there and let another grown man slap you in the face as hard as possible without moving, you've got to be cut from a certain cloth.
Dude, just tough as hell, right? And that is, like, you're right. There was a big reveal. You didn't even tell us behind the scenes that they were doing, like, an Ultimate Fighter style house where these guys are now just going to be getting drunk and being just big, burly power slappers who are going to wrestle each other around. Yeah. Like, that looks like such a fun hour of television.
It's crazy because I'm talking to a lot of the guys. They're like, this is nuts. I'm here to try and take this seriously. These guys are just partying. It's like, what do you expect, bro? What do you expect? These are not... You know, with respect to all of them, and they're trying to change their lives, and some of them have had very, very, they come from tough backgrounds, you know, some of them have made mistakes, haven't made the best choices in their life, and, you know, they're trying to turn that around, and this is going to be great exposure for them, and maybe something, you know, really positive comes out of it. I hope it does. But some of them, you know, they're just here for a good time. They're here to slap people in the face and get shit-faced in a house, and I'm telling you, I cannot wait to see, because I've heard some of the stories, which I can't say. I have heard some of the stories of what went down, and it's going to be a crazy season.
Dude, I'm excited for that. That looks like a blast.
And not to mention the power that some of these slappers have. It's crazy. And listen, we can't sit here and pretend that this is, you know, highly technical with the finest athletes on planet Earth, right? But these guys, they want it, and they generate some power, and there is a lot of knockouts, and it's crazy. You know, you see these two guys, they step up, and there, some of them are built like brick shit houses. They're covered in tattoos, and you think, this is wild. And then, boom, one shot, and they're fucking asleep.
Can you tell us this? Again, and if you can't, then I'll just move on from it. Are there weight classes?
Oh, yeah. There's weight classes. Yeah. There's weight classes. It's interesting. It's a very, very, and there's a lot of rules, believe it or not. You know, there's rules to the power slapping. You wouldn't think that. But still, but turns of when it comes to power slapping, go on, Harrington. Next fucking question.
Dude, one guy wants to fight for the title, I guess, at 155 pounds, maybe 170 pounds. Conor McGregor says it might be a fun time for him and Nate to run it back for a third time for the power slap title.
Yeah, but did you see Nate Diaz's response?
Oh, Nate 10-8'd him.
Oh, it was great. One. What did he say? If we got the tweet, bring it up.
He said, I already did that to you in the octagon, and then followed up with, but it was for real, so I also choked you out.
Yeah. No, that was good. That was good. Conor saying he fancies it. Do you know what? For him and Nate, if Conor and Nate were to do power slap, I'm telling you, that might be the most watched thing on planet Earth. I mean, who's not going to watch that? Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz in the cage. I think I'd rather watch that. I would. But also, a little weird part of me wants to see them just stand there, talk shit, and slap each other in the face. Who would you give the advantage to?
Nate Diaz has the Homer Simpson gene, dude. You can't knock the guy out.
Yeah, true. But Conor McGregor right now would have a hard time making 170. In fact, he's talking about 185 because he's built like a fridge.
Yeah, I think that was like a response to the main event too. So just really throwing some shade there. But I mean, go and fight Sean Strickland. See what happens, I guess.
All right. So you sent me a non-MMA story which involved some kind of slapping, but already we know with mixed martial arts there's every type of what is this? Go on, press play, Brian.
The frying pan fighting championship.
Why not the frying and then passing back and forth. Let's have a look. Did someone go down?
Yeah, someone goes down at the end.
Hold on. Just do it. That would hurt in that. I mean, don't get me wrong, it will protect you, but the ringing in your ear, that'd be crazy.
That would suck.
There it is. And he's down. I mean, what is the world coming to? Go on.
That sounds like a busted eardrum every time. Sounds painful.
Reminds me of, and I fell for this, Do you ever play that game where you put a spoon in your mouth and you've got to take turns at hitting each other on the head with it? You never played that game?
No.
And then somebody has a buddy station behind them.
Yeah.
Wallops them on the head.
Yeah, I was coaching the Ultimate Fighter season 9, UK versus USA. And I went into the house one night. And what you do is let's have a game. So you put a metal spoon in your mouth, and then you tap them on the head like that.
With the back of the...
Yeah, with the spoon part. You have like the handle bit in your mouth. And you can't generate much power. It probably hurts your teeth more than anything else, you know. And you do it once or twice, and you go, all right, last one. And then one of the mates has a spoon and goes, douche, on your head as hard as fuck. And you're like, Jesus Christ, how did you do that? The pricks, they got me. But still, there you go. What's going on in MMA, Harrington? I'm looking at the notes right now. What's the big stories? It's been a slow news week, obviously. We had the last fight of the year. It's going to be about 4 weeks now until the next fight.
I think the biggest story that just broke today, Brett Okamoto says that all this Paulo Costa talk, right? It's not just trolling. He's not posturing. He is actually off of the UFC 2, I believe, 84 card in Perth, Australia. And early reports say that Robert Whittaker is also going to be off the card and is going to be moved to a later date.
That's a real shame. That is a real shame. Number one, because I'm calling that one and I don't need to do any research for that fight because I know them too big time. No, that Perth card was shaping up to be ridiculous. Brian, just bring it up if you can. And Robert Whittaker, he's one of my favorite fighters to watch. He just gets better and better. That fight against Marvin Vettori, I mean, that performance against Vettori was unbelievable. And Paulo Costa is one of the only guys in the top 10 or top 5 that he hasn't fought and beaten. So it was a very intriguing match from that perspective, of course. Costa, we know he always brings it. So here we go. Is that Makhachev Volkanovski? Sick. Rodriguez Emmett for the interim title. Would have been Whittaker versus Costa. Kai Kara France. Alex Perez. Great fight. Justin Taffer, Parker Porter. Tyson Pedro. Zhang Mingyang. Shout out Zhang Mingyang, Jimmy Crew, Alonzo Menifield, Josh Koulibal, Melsik Bagdasarian. All right. And then we're going down to the other prelims there. No offense to those guys. But the main card was looking ridiculous. So that's a shame. That is a shame.
And it's also tough because you look at I just took a look at the UFC rankings. I can't think of anyone to put in there short notice against Robert Whittaker. So you kind of do have to move him to a later date. And it's like, man, there is, I don't know. It's tough.
If I'm correct, I seem to remember reading somewhere. Is Costa not in contract right now?
No, Costa has one fight left on his UFC contract.
I see. Okay.
Is what he says. Okay.
All right. Well, fingers crossed. They figured that out because Costa, Costa was talking a bit of shit to me recently. What was it?
Yeah.
I think we talked about this. He said, what do you want for Christmas? Oh, yeah. The referees get, I don't know. They fire Michael Bisping, basically.
Yeah, he wanted Elon Musk to buy UFC and fire you as commentator.
Yeah, fuck you, Paulo Costa. What a prick. What a prick. But Marvin Vettori versus Roman Dolidze, that is on that card, so that's a good addition. Roman Dolidze is going to come on the show soon.
Is it? Him.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. He's a big, big, powerful dude, and he owns a bakery in Georgia, wherever he's from. Yeah, not your average guy. What else we got, Harrington?
The face breaker and the bread maker. Zion Clark, did you see this? Do you have any interest in talking about this?
Is Zion Clark?
Okay, so he is an athlete who was born without legs thanks to a birth defect. He competed at the all-state level in high school wrestling, went on to college wrestling, and now has goals towards fighting both in the Paralympic Games in hand walking as well as the regular Olympic Games in wrestling. Well, he just made his MMA debut over the weekend.
What?
Check this out. Yes.
No way.
Yes.
No.
Yes, sir.
What are the rules on head kicks here?
I've seen this guy wrestle. I do remember him. I've seen him wrestle, and he's phenomenal.
Yep. As you can see here,
gets the takedown, gets top position.
Yeah, that's a tough kind of one.
What? Head and arm choke coming up. No, not quite. The opponent gets the reversal. I mean, that's wild. That's insane. What state was that in?
That was actually in your backyard. It was Gladiator Combat in California.
Get fucked. And that can't have been professional.
That was 100% professional.
So this is what I have an issue. And no, God bless him. You know, I mean, overcoming all those obstacles in life, it would have been easy for him to sit around and be a victim. But, you know, he got involved in sports, the toughest sports on bloody planet Earth, let's be honest, with no legs. I mean, that is just, it's mind blown, mind blown. But my mind is also blown because I can't fight with one eye. But Nick Newell can fight with one hand. Zion Clark can fight with no legs, but I can't fight with one eye. I mean, what is going on in the world? That cannot be true.
I mean, Mike, I'm looking at all of the... Look, if you want to go fight for Gladiator Challenge tomorrow, they'll probably okay it. I'm just saying.
But do you know what I mean? The sleepless nights I had trying to bloody hoodwink past the commissions and stuff like that. But this guy's walking around with no legs brazenly. You know what I mean? Not hiding it. You know what I mean?
Mike, come on. Poor choice.
No, I know. Hey, no, the guy's an inspiration. Just absolutely sensational. I mean, that is wild, isn't it? I mean, it just shows, doesn't it? No matter, with the right attitude, whatever life throws at you, you can overcome it. You know what I mean? He's obviously had a lot of people that were supportive around him. You know, a lot of people helping him stay positive because, I mean, come on. That's about as serious a disability gets, you know, in a lot of ways. Obviously, his brain is still working perfectly and things like that. It's just a physical disability. But, man, what a hero. That's just amazing. But still, I'm still annoyed.
Yeah. Man. Okay. A little RIP.
Ruka
family. Is he? Yeah. I mean, I know him at Ruka, so I'm assuming so. Oh, Orlando Sanchez passed away over the weekend at the age of 40.
Yeah, 40 years old. Orlando Sanchez, for those people that don't know, he was a multiple-time, I believe, jiu-jitsu world champion. Always out at the Abu Dhabi, you know, the world competition out there and things. He was an incredible grappler. He was down at Ruka all the time. There he is. Big, big dude. I grappled with him and, you know, a few times. Oof. I was talking about Jake Shields and downward pressure. My God, the pressure from that guy was unbelievable. 40 years old, Saturday. It just shows, doesn't it? Who was it recently that passed away?
Rumble.
Anthony Rumble Johnson as well. You know, can't take life for granted. Cannot take life for granted. You only get one. I'm sitting there on the couch Friday looking at social media as you do. Just thought I'd have a quick flick through Instagram. And I saw the bloody tributes coming into him. And apparently he died in his sleep. And his wife went to where, this is what I heard from Perillo. If there's any facts wrong, I apologize. But what I heard was his wife went to wake him up Friday morning, found him in bed, fast asleep, must have died in his sleep or something like that. It's just awful, man. Awful. And he's got young children as well. I mean, if you look on his Instagram, there's a picture of him there. He was a loving father, loving husband. My God. Awful, awful, awful.
It's all very sad.
It is.
But yeah, rest in peace to you know, very good dude.
You said that very upbeat. Yeah, rest in peace. Rest in peace. It's a sad day in their household, Harrington. Okay. The tone of voice has got to be...
Morning.
Now you're mocking.
I'm not mocking. I don't know what you want me to do here.
He's a friend of mine.
I'm very sorry that he passed away. That's why I said rest in peace. I don't know. I mean, we're doing a show here. I'm trying to
I know. He's... It's awful. It's awful. It really is. What do you say? You know, it just shows, doesn't it? Live every day to the fullest, guys, because you never know when it's going to be taken away. Don't put things off. Just go for it. Live your fucking life. Tomorrow's not guaranteed, is it? It's a cliche, but it's so true. What's the big stories in MMA, Hamilton? There's nothing big right now. Jake Shields, we did that. Conor McGregor, Zion Clark, Brandon Moreno training with Saif Saud. Obviously, that comes in the wake of what's happening with James Krause and Glory MMA situation. Brandon Moreno had just recently transferred there. Where was he training? Down in Tijuana. He was training down in Tijuana, moved to Glory MMA. But of course, now we'll be training with Saif Saud down at Fortis MMA. What have you got to add to that?
So I was going to ask, like, that comes a month out from a title fight. Like, that feels like a pretty short span of time to change, you know, who your head trainer is going to be, the language that you have for the corner to communicate to you in the fight. Like, what are some of the humps he could be looking at to have to overcome with the title fight, you know?
Well, I mean, listen, You know, every coach, it takes a while to build the real rapport and to find a real rhythm. And to basically the main thing, establish trust. You know what I mean? That's what you need. You need to trust your cornerman. You need to trust the advice. You got to trust them in every walk of life that they're going to have your back and they're going to be like a brother. And, you know, because some coaches, and I'm not naming names, and this isn't, I'm not talking about anyone in particular. I'm not thinking of anyone in particular right now, but along the way, there's some coaches that are there for themselves. You know what I mean? And of course, to a certain degree, everyone's trying to get ahead in life. But the person that's stepping into the octagon, the person that's fighting, they need to know that that their coach are 100% there for them, that they're telling them the right things, they're not acting out of ego, and they're trying to do everything they can to help them win the fight, which most of the time they are, because if the fighter wins, the coach wins, you know? So they all want the same thing. So listen, Saif Saud is one of the best coaches out there right now. I see him corner at the Apex all the time. He's got a great stable of fighters. You know, he's a fantastic cornerman. The advice that he gives is very clear, to the point. He doesn't overcomplicate things. You know, you see some coaches at the end of a round, the fighters just had their ass kicked. They're out of breath. They can hardly breathe. The face is falling apart. And they're getting really, really technical with the advice. Do you know what I mean? It's like, that stuff isn't going into the fighter's brain right now. Number one, let them get the breath. Calm down. Don't talk at them. You know what I mean? That's what I mean. Sometimes when they talk at them, it's because they want to be seen on TV as being this amazing coach. You know what I mean? None of that's going in. You know, but Saif does a really good job of giving clear direction, you know, giving clear instruction. And then also, if he needs to, sticking a rocket up the ass. You know, sometimes when it's the last round, whether it's round three or round five that you're going into, he will give us some motivating speeches. You know what I mean? He really knows how to work it. So he'll be just fine there. Brandon Moreno up against Davidson Figueiredo. What?
I think it's
four.
What? Yeah, this is the fourth fight. There was a draw and then one apiece. So this is the fourth fight. I just think it's cool these guys having fought that many times. Like Moreno was sticking, you know, pretty close into the Krause camp versus you know, Figueiredo's been bouncing around. He was spending the time with Cejudo. So I'm excited for any new wrinkle that comes in this fight with these two guys fighting four times, being just that damn close to each other. Yeah, it's going to be a fun fight.
So it was Figueiredo last time. It was in January, weren't it, at the Honda Center? That was the last one, right? So
yeah.
It's been almost a year. Wow, that's crazy. In fact, it will be a year by the time they fight, and it's going to be in Brazil. Figueiredo's home country, so that could be a factor. But yeah, looking forward to it. Chito Vera, what's he saying about Petr Yan?
So he says that he's looking for a fight. He wants to fight somebody. Like it's very tough for him to find a fight right now, as high up as he is in the rankings, and still be looking to working towards a title. He says that he has his eyes set on Petr Yan, but Peter is too busy crying over the Sean O'Malley decision. Right, so he says, you know, knock it off and take the fight.
I love Chito, a good friend of mine. We're going to get together over Christmas. Has Piotr, let's be honest, it's Piotr. Piotr Yan. I started it. I said Peter. It was just very lazy of me. Has Piotr Yan been crying? Because I didn't think I saw anything.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of back and forth on Twitter consistently. Right. I mean, who knows who's doing all that? But yeah, he has been saying that, you know, he should have won that fight. And you know, I mean, honestly, that's two back-to-back fights. The Aljamain Sterling fight was certainly close, and the Sean O'Malley fight also very close. So I can understand somebody having a gripe about it. But he made the point, Marlon did, Chito, that after the Song Yadong fight, which he says to this day, he's certain that he won, the most important thing for him was to get right back into the cage and keep fighting to get that, like, taste out of your mouth.
Yeah, Well, it is. It is. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, I'm not sure if Chito is looking for a fight with Piotr, as he said that. Is that what he's looking for?
Yeah, he says he wants to fight, and that's the only guy that makes sense for him right now.
Well, you got to respect that from Chito. You know what I mean? Because you would think right now, with Chito being in the position that he's in, could be posturing for title fights only. You know what I mean? But he probably sees the backlog. You know, Cejudo. I don't know why I said Volkanovski. I meant Aljamain Sterling. Alexander Aljamain. Yeah, whatever. I said it to Sugar. But then Sugar, Sean O'Malley's probably going to be next in line. Mm-hmm. The fight to make should be Chito versus Sugar. But that should be a title defense for one of them as well. Let's be honest. I see in the future either Chito or O'Malley being the champ at some point. For sure. I do. I just think it's written in the stars for both of them. You know, and I think it'd be if and when that one of them becomes champion, that'll be a massive blockbuster fight, you know? So look forward to all of that. All right, we're going to do some questions shortly. Give me one more non-MMA story, something we can dip our teeth into, and let me know.
Okay. All right. So you sent this one along, right? Now, as a father to a man who's in this age range and another one who's coming up, I wanted to see what your take was on it. They're saying about 35% of men, right? A new study says about 35% of men aged 19 to 29 aren't having sex. In addition, the number of virgins in 2022 has tripled in that same age range since 2008.
So sometimes when I just see a story, I'll just send it through just as a possibility, just to, like, say, you know, stick this in there. You know what I mean? I'm not giving you a hard time. I don't know why this is, but certainly, you know, the theory is that this new generation, the younger generation, they're getting softer and softer all the time. And by getting softer and softer, I guess maybe they're being, how do I phrase this correctly? I'm about to sneeze.
He's on tight.
Wow. Woo. I'm sick, guys. I've got the worst cold right now. They're certainly less sexually active, according to that. But hold on. How did they gather this information? Do you know what I mean? Because you would expect young guys to lie and say, yeah, they're having lots of sex. But now I think in this day and age, they've all gone soft. They probably want to say that they're not having sex. So they seem more, I don't know, they seem, they're all pussies, let's be honest. This new generation, I'm trying to tiptoe around it. They're a set of fucking pussies, man. Get a grip. That's what's going wrong with the world. You know what I mean?
Not only that, but dating apps really fuck up the dudes who usually like score chicks on their personality. So,
that's an interesting point.
Because chicks don't have to go out anymore to pick up to find a dude who's going to be flashing cars and money and all this other bullshit. It's just window shopping for hot chicks. Whereas they used to have to go to the bar, you might run into an uggo who's really funny or nice and like you get along. But now that doesn't happen because everybody window shops on these apps. It's a detriment to the nerd population for sure.
Interesting. Yeah, then just stay on a second, Brian, because, you know, you are young, free and single, right? Do you use some of the dating apps? A good friend of mine, he just recently found himself single. No, so there's no judgment. And he's not having a whale of a time, shall we say. I'm not saying he's out there throwing his leg off as lots of things, but he's has no problem finding dates, and he's not the most outgoing type of guy or flashy type of guy or whatever, but he's going out on dates with pretty girls, you know. Yeah. He's meeting a lot of people, and because obviously dating apps were around before Rebecca and I were together. I've never experienced them, but have you tried these out, Brian?
No, I just usually go to bars and hit on chicks there.
Yeah, the old-fashioned way.
Yeah,
but do you get drunk first?
Most of the time I'll have one or two and then just walk up to a random chick that I think is pretty. And I'll go, I'm sorry. I just wanted to let you know you're very pretty. And then I'll walk away and go hang out with my friends again. And then
see if she comes to you.
She does. Usually
it's the hair.
It's my hair. Only good quality, to be completely honest.
It's the hair. It's the height. How tall are you, Brian?
6'3".
6'3"?
Yeah.
Tall, dark. Good looking, long face. You got a certain Jack Sparrow quality about you.
It helps for sure.
The voice of God. Harrington, have you been on the dating apps?
Oh, yeah. I do terribly on them. Absolutely terribly, which is why I don't really mess with the dating apps. And it's like, so I was talking to some of the younger guys who work here at Gas Digital, because there are some like college age kids, like people who are in that demographic. And they said those numbers check out because a lot of their like, this kid who works here was like, yeah, dude, I haven't had sex in like a year. Like, it's crazy. And it's like they legitimately, the younger generation has a much harder time with those face-to-face interactions, just talking to a woman.
That's why it's so important. If you've got young kids, they've got to get out there. You know what I mean? So like Lucas, he's at an instrumental age. He's 12 years old. You know what I love? When he comes home from school, he wants to go on a bike ride with his friends. And, you know, go out and explore. And he'll go out for hours on end. And there's a little possibility that maybe he's getting up to some shenanigans. Maybe he's getting up to no good. Do you know what I mean? But I kind of...
He probably is, to be honest. But it's not going to be anything that's going to fuck up his life, probably.
No. We're talking maybe, you know, he's on trespassing on private property or the smashing some old greenhouse windows or whatever the shit I was doing on, you know, as a kid. Mischief. I want him to. I want him to be doing that. The last thing I want is him sitting in front of a screen or staring at an iPad or a computer or an iPhone alone in his bedroom, because that happens to a lot of them. And then they grow up and they've got no social skills.
That's my job, Mike.
Yeah, well, it's kind of, well, it's my life these days. Fortunately, I'm just looking. I very rarely leave these four walls unless I'm going to a UFC event.
Is that true? No, you're a man about town, Michael Bisping. Don't tell me that. You're stopping by the breakfast place. You're getting accosted by people left and right at Ralph's, you know, asking for pictures.
It's like me saying I go out because I go to Dunkin' Donuts to get coffee.
Yes, exactly. No, I don't. I live a very quiet life these days, and I like it like that. All right, let's just take a second to talk about RexMD. Basically, RexMD, they are offering, it's a performance enhancement drug, okay? If you're struggling in the bedroom, if you suffer from erectile dysfunction, or you just, I don't know, you're a little nervous, you're a little anxious, if you can't get it going, if you can't deliver the goods, then RexMD is here to help you. They've made the process very simple. There's no need to jump through a bunch of hoops to set up an embarrassing doctor's appointment to get your medication. With just a few clicks of a button, you can talk to a medical professional, create a personalized plan, and get the products discreetly shipped to your door within 2 days. RexMD doesn't just have erectile dysfunction medication either. The other medications that they help, they will deal with sexual health, hair growth, pain relief, and sleep aid. And the main thing is they are here to help you save big. Did you know Viagra costs around $90 a pill? But RexMD has generic Viagra that is just as effective for as low as $2 per pill. So unlike other brands, RexMD is FDA approved as well. That's a big one. It's safe for you, not putting any nonsense in your body. It is clinically tested, and a US licensed pharmacy sends you the goods. You'll be getting your FDA approved ED treatments at a 90% cheaper rate than the doctor. So yes, yes, 90% cheaper. Come on. It's fast. It's simple. And as I say, it is cheap. And you can access your US licensed RexMD physician anytime you want after that initial call. RexMD has already helped out over 300,000 guys, help them gain confidence quickly and conveniently. And they are here to help you. And let's be honest, your partner in the bedroom. So take advantage of this offer. Go to rexmd.com/Bisping, where the exclusive deal will save you up to 90% off, where you will only pay $2 per dosage. Come on, that is an incredible offer. Starter packs of generic Viagra or Cialis are now available for our listeners. And to get started, as I say, it is rexmd.com/Bisping to get up to 90% off. Give the gift of pleasure this holiday season with RexMD. Anyway, right, so we've been going on for a little bit here. Short show today. Big thanks to Sean O'Malley. Big thumbs down to Anthony Lionheart-Smith. How dare he, you know, schedule a family vacation. He will be back on Thursday, though. And Thursday, we have a very, very special guest joining us. The one and only, the pound-for-pound great, Alexander Volkanovski, ahead of his title fight with Islam Makhachev, stepping up to 155. So I'm very, very curious, and I'm very grateful for him giving up some time. So we'll have him on the show on Thursday. So make sure you check that one out. We're going to do some questions in a second. bympod@gmail.com if you want to send one in.
And if you want to, if you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure you're subscribed to the show. Leave a 5-star rating, positive review. It helps us out on those audio platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the channel and hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new episode drops. Also, if you want to catch over 400 episodes ad-free and uncensored, head to GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get a 7-day free trial. Check out all the great shows on the network.
Yes, please do. Brian, what have you got to say? Don't go to a question just yet, because as I was... Oxalates. Oh, that's what I was talking about before. Do you know what oxalates are?
No, never heard of them.
Definitely look into it.
Yeah. Well, because all animals are poisonous to a lot of animals to stop insects from eating them. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And the same goes for
like
humans.
Peppers.
Yeah. I my mind went completely blank before. So a lot of plants, seeds, nuts, anything like that that comes from flowers or anything that's grown, our body builds up oxalates in our body, and it has a negative effect because we shouldn't be eating them, and we should be only eating the carnivorous diet. Apparently so. I need to read the whole article. I looked at the headline, didn't read the whole thing, and that's coming across in this podcast. It was a very long article, though. Very long.
I'm for sure switching to just red meat and salt for the next 30 days. I'll let you know how it goes.
Well, I'm switching to a diet, definitely, from now till Thursday. I'm gonna look at this face. I am puffy to the max. But I've got a broken back. I can't work out. I'm in bloody pain. Wednesday, I get they're gonna do two test runs. This doesn't make sense to me. Before the insurance will agree to pay for my back to be the nerves to be ablated. Remember I told you they're gonna fry the nerve so my brain can no longer feel
process
the pain.
How much it hurts.
Process how much it hurts. They wanna do a trial run two times first.
What does that mean? How do you trial run burn a nerve?
I don't know. I think what it means is they're gonna get me to pay for the first, they're gonna get me to pay for the second, and if it has success, then on the third one, because it doesn't last forever. It'll last a while. Do you know what I mean? The cheeky bastards. I think it's their way of getting out of paying for the process or the treatment.
This seems shady.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm having that Wednesday. So Thursday, I'm going to be pain-free. Hopefully. Brian, what have we got?
Okay. Well, we have some questions here. And turns out it's pretty good that Anthony's not here because most of the questions are to Harrington.
Oh really? Well, that's not
out of control. They're out of control.
All right, here's the first one. This is actually for you, Mike. This is from Ed from Sweden.
Fred here from the west coast of Sweden. The weather is quite shit, to be honest. I do have a question though. How many Harringtons and or Bryans would you need to defeat Francis Ngannou in a battle to the death? Only hands, only unnatural weapons, whatever. No weapons, no anything like that. How many Bryans and or Harringtons would you need to defeat him to the death?
You know, typically Swedish people, they're intelligent. They have an air of intelligence about them. They do. You know, Alexander Gustafsson, you know, they the way they look, the way they stand, their beards, they seem like smart, intelligent, educated people that are going to put together a very well thoughtful, you know, question. But we get that nonsense to start the show. What do you want me to say to that, Harrington?
Well, I mean, so it's you're involved too. So it's essentially you're the general of an army of Harrington. So like we might have a shot. You know what I mean?
No.
If it's like
no, no, I don't think so.
At once. You don't think 100 of me.
Okay, I've done some math here. This is silly math, but I figure he can probably take out 3 of either of us a minute. Now, how many minutes can he go?
Because, not many.
Right. So I'm saying, so 3 times what? Like 15, 20, you know what I mean?
Are we actually trying to give a proper response? Are we doing mathematical equations and working them out? Because I refuse to do that. I refuse. It's such a stupid, dumb question. Ed, do better from Sweden. Yeah. Next time you will need this answer. This is not Sweden. I don't know what this is. But no, I refuse to answer. Dumb question. Moving on. Next. Here we go, pretty lady.
Here's a question from Claire James.
Hell yeah.
Greetings from a very cold Sunderland in England. Just busy walking the dog, listening to the Believe You Me podcast, and I thought I'd send a quick question in. With Christmas coming, I always see it as a time of overindulgence. And obviously with you guys, always, well, most of the time, try to watch your weight and watch what you eat. I feel like Christmas has a lot of really great sweet treats. So my question is, do you overindulge at Christmas, and what are your favourite sweet treats? Obviously the UK has the best chocolate. What's your favourite sweet treat at Christmas? Thanks, keep up the good work.
Well, thank you very much. Sunderland, it does look bloody cold there because we don't get much snow. Thanks for the question. Listen, we all overindulge at Christmas. We always say we're not going to do it. You know what I mean? But we do. It's part of it, though. It's part of the fun. Like, even last night, you know, we haven't had pizza in ages. We went out to do some Christmas shopping. We were trying to buy things. As the kids are getting older, man, it's getting harder and harder. A, because they're spoiled. B, because, you know what I mean? They're like, are we just going to buy things for the sake of it? Just so they have things on Christmas Day? Do you know what I'm saying? So it's getting harder and harder to find stuff. And when we came back, we didn't have time to cook. I said, let's just get some pizza. Got two pizzas, some garlic knots. Oh, it felt bloody good. And then what we have to answer the question is Cadbury's roses. We get them every Christmas. Have you had Cadbury's roses?
No, I don't know about that. Now just I'm Google very...
Roses, Brian, just Google them. They're amazing. Almost every house in England gets a tub of roses, but the tubs are getting smaller and smaller because, we do have great chocolate in England. Yeah, roses, for sure, definitely. All day, every day.
Dude, Cadbury just got... Oh, okay.
Yeah, there we go. Nice. I'm going to send you some roses, Hamilton and Brian. Yeah? There you go. There's your Christmas bonus this year.
Dude, I'm going to send you some crunchies. Let's go.
$18. What do you pig out on, Harrington?
I'll be honest. The big thing is my mom's chocolate chip cookies. She has just the best recipe. My girlfriend got hooked on them this year. She sent us back from her house at Thanksgiving with like a giant bin. We have like three left for actually Christmas Day. But yeah, I don't know. Other than that, like those big, you know what I like? Those big tubs of the popcorn. Where it's like one is cheese, one is caramel, one is the kettle corn. I love those. Those are so good.
I'm not really a fan of popcorn too much. A couple of handfuls and I'm done. But
you guys like Marzipan?
Pardon me?
Marzipan? It's like a almond German dessert.
No.
Never heard of it.
No. Oh, really? I'll check it out. We're going out for Christmas dinner this time. We're going to Mastro's for a steak. Very, ooh, very excited. You know, because Rebecca always asks, most of the day for whoever's going to cook the Christmas dinner, they're stuck in the kitchen, aren't they? And then afterwards, there's tons of cleaning up and all the rest of them. We said, you know what? This year, we're going out for a nice meal. Let someone else do it all. So we're very excited for that. Do we have one more question to finish up on?
Can I just follow up real quick on the gift thing?
Yes, please.
So Shannon, who used to be on the show, asked me the other day, her niece really wants a virtual collectible, like a car or a character in like a computer game that she plays. Costs $250. Could you ever justify getting like your, like Lucas, like a digital item over like, let's say $100 for a game?
Can't even play with it.
Hold on. Say that again. She wanted a what?
Like a character, let's say, like in Roblox.
Oh, sorry. So you're talking about a downloadable character that they can pay, right? And it was $250.
$250. Jeez,
what game was this?
I think it was like a Roblox or a Roblox spinoff or something like that. But like, A, is that kind of predatory? And then B, like, would you ever get Lucas something like that if that's what he really wanted for Christmas?
Nah, no way. No way. $250 for a character. Absolute ripoff. And yeah, it's a no. Right. Brian, that was a terrible insert. Let's just get that question. Sorry. This podcast falling off the rails. We need Lionheart Smith back quick. Do we have a proper fucking question? Okay. Please, for the love of God.
So we have a question from Nadine Dorrington.
Okay.
She keeps sending this in. So I'm going to play it.
So hold on. Just pause it. She keeps sending this in, right? So let's break that down.
Okay.
The first time you saw it, man.
The first time I'm almost certain that we have played this question on the show before, but I couldn't find it, and she insists that we haven't.
I don't remember her face. I think she'd stand out from the believers that we normally get. But let's give it a shot.
Hello. So I don't actually watch UFC because I faint at the sight of blood, so... As you can imagine, it's quite tricky for me, but I still love what you do and you make me laugh, even though I don't know what you're talking about half the time. So I have two non-related MMA questions, if you don't mind. My first one is, if you could pick three celebrities, past or present, to go out and have the best night ever with, who would they be? And my second question is, if you were stuck in a room with either snakes or spiders that couldn't harm you, what would you choose? Thank you. Bye.
We'll just focus on the second question. The first one gets asked all the time. And then and no disrespect, and thank you for your question. We appreciate the support on the show. I've been asked that question so many times, and people are, we've been asked that on the show so many times. Journalists used to ask me that so many times as well. But that last one, that's kind of an interesting one, because I'm a pussy when it comes to insects. Snakes, they freak me out big time.
But you said they couldn't hurt you, so I don't care either way.
Yeah, they can't hurt you, but still, like, I admire insects, and I've said this before, from afar. I find them to be fascinating. I just don't want them to touch me. I know they can't hurt me. I know that. I'm well aware of that. But I still will freak out if one touches me. Do you know what I mean? What do you reckon, Harry?
So when I hear a room filled with snakes, I'm thinking like a Scrooge McDuck pit of snakes, right? And at that point, it's like you could kind of just swim in snakes. That would be maybe kind of cool. I think like I'm looking at this both positive, because the other side is spiders. If you had a room full of spiders, it would be so cool to look at like the intricacies they could make with the webs. No?
No, see, that freaks me out because like I saw a video just recently online of a spider that had gone down into the ear canal of someone really deep down, and they shined the light in, and they had a little camera, and they could see it, and it saw the lights, so it stopped, and eventually it crawled out. And that freaks me out all the time, a little spider going down my ear canal. I mean, now my ears itching. Anytime I see a spider or an insect, I start scratching myself because I think it's on me. You know what I mean? Like in England, we have a show called I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they have these, what do they call them? The Bush Tucker Trials or some shit. And they have to do a bunch of stuff, you know, with insects and snakes and feces, and have to eat bloody frogs' bollocks and stuff like that.
Like Fear Factor level stuff?
Yeah, it's that type of thing. Exactly. But nothing's ever going to get them sick. Nothing's going to kill them or anything like that because of insurance policies. You know what I mean? But you've still got to overcome that mental factor. So the fact that, yeah, you know, these aren't going to hurt you, but still, it's still just gross and horrible. You know what I mean? So I don't think I could make a choice out of them two. I mean, could you jump into a massive pile of spiders?
I mean, a pile, maybe not, but in my mind, at least the spiders, a room full of spiders, they could all just be on the wall or hanging out on the ceiling. I wouldn't necessarily have to touch the spiders. A room full of snakes, you're going to have to like touch the snakes, and just feeling them coiling and hissing around me, that would kind of give me the heebie-jeebies, maybe.
Well, this might be up there for the dumbest conversation we've ever had.
Okay.
You know? And I've had a lot of tough ones. Dumb ones, let's be honest. That's a bold statement to make there, by me. A lot of dumb conversations, but this is up there. But we'll go with the spiders. Thank you very much for the question. We appreciate you. We also appreciate Sugar Sean O'Malley. Thank you very much for joining the show. We appreciate you, Harrington and Brian. What's the rest of the week look like for you two?
A bunch of wearing Santa hats to work every day. I got a Christmas party on Friday, and then going with the fam.
Is that the Gas Digital Christmas party?
No, I think we're actually doing like a Gas Digital Yankee swap on Wednesday afternoon. But yeah, I just got invited over to a friend is actually going to have me play the Grinch for their for his Christmas party. In the middle of the party, sneak in as the Grinch and like take some toys away from the kids.
Harrington will do anything to be center of attention, won't he, Brian?
Okay.
It's pretty wild, actually, sometimes. I'm just busting his balls. It's fine. My brother's getting married on Friday.
Oh, nice.
So I might need to talk to you guys about scheduling the show on Thursday. It's
whoa. Married on Friday. What's going on Thursday?
Down in DC. I got to leave.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So Volkanovski can just go fuck himself, can he?
We'll figure something out.
God, you guys. All right, well, there's the show, guys. We apologize. A little bit all over the reins. We had no Lionheart to keep us in check. We got no fights to talk about. We got no big news, but we got a show for you. So there you go. Thank you very much. Be well. Take care. See you on Thursday.